Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
With a boombox playing this song the entire way while running the 5K in Boston, that was our guy, Tom Hauser. Didn't run the marathon, but Dave Harrigan, to run a 5K with the boombox, with the Hauser Man song playing the entire time, that is impressive.
Yeah, and this is one of the big, you know, late 80s, early 90s boomboxes, too. This is some serious weight on your shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is not a, you know, nothing new.
And little known fact, that is the equivalent of running a full marathon if you do a 5K with a 1980s boombox on your shoulder.
Yeah, very impressive.
A whole special category for that race.
How many times have you run the marathon in Boston?
I've done it once virtually because it was canceled in 2020. Then I've run it twice, and I'll do it again next year when it's going to be on my birthday.
Nice. So that's 86, because somebody listed on Instagram it was your 85th birthday. So I assume that's true.
Yeah. Did you get that guy's name who outed me on that?
It was me.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that's what people are telling me. Source: people are talking. That's what I hear.
But don't you use one of those phony Twitter names?
Yeah.
So I didn't really know it was you.
Yeah, exactly. It's many, many aliases. So congrats on the birthday. Congrats on the 5K. Let's jump in because we got a lot to get to. State of the state, okay? First of all, it's good to know Tim Walz is actually in the state because that doesn't happen all the time right now.
Does Dave have a rim shot available?
Hi-yo! Hi-yo!
There we go.
What is the theme tonight? What are you expecting from the governor?
Well, you know, like most governors, I'm sure he's going to try to unify the legislators in Minnesota. As we know, that one Minnesota theme has not gone over real well.
No.
And it's not entirely the fault of Tim Walz. It's the product of the political environment we live in. Everything is totally polarized, from your local city council anywhere in Minnesota, just about, through state government and clearly in the federal government. That's just the way it is. It's hard. We don't have one America. We do not have one Minnesota. But I think he'll take another stab at trying to bring people together tonight, and I think we all know how that will go.
Is he living up to that in working with Republicans, knowing how tight everything is in the Senate and House? It's one thing to say in a speech, but in meetings, in practically, in the budget as an example, is he offering a genuine handshake right now, or is it more of, here's our deal, where's your deal, let's see how we can figure it out, versus offering concrete ways to almost be that middleman to bring the sides together?
Well, I think, you know, his hand is going to be forced by the fact that Republicans now have a share of power in the Minnesota House, where it's tied 67-67, and Democrats can no longer run the table. Now you are forced to go to the table and reach a compromise. So the legislature and governor of the past 2 years have gone by the wayside. And it remains to be seen in the remaining, how many days have we got left? 26 days in the legislative session, something like that, how they're going to get along. I still think it's a long shot to finish by May 19th, that they generally need some kind of pressure to reach a deal. They're not there yet. They don't have final budget targets yet. And so, you know, we'll see how this goes. But the governor knows he has to work with Republicans, and they have to work with the governor.
Is Tim Walz's message multifaceted tonight, where part of it is for the state, part of it is for the legislators, and part of it is for Democrats all across the country who are paying attention to him and giving him some consideration for 2028?
Well, that's one of the things we're going to be watching. Does he focus his speech mostly on Minnesota, or is he going to focus it and blame what problems we might have on Donald Trump and the federal government? Even though some of those things might be legitimate, you know, in terms of the future of federal funding for all kinds of things in Minnesota, it'll be interesting to see whether his speech is something that you would expect from someone who's going to run for re-election as governor, or someone who has something bigger in mind. And that's one of the things we'll be watching for.
Biggest national political story involving a Minnesotan is Pete Hegseth, something we've discussed last couple days here, but have not discussed with you. Obviously, this is the Minnesota native who was a controversial selection, but someone who's always been very loyal to the president from Fox and on, and now not one Signal app controversies, but a second, other people leaving the Pentagon, questions about it, comments from individuals with the Pentagon saying it's chaos. I'm saying this, Tom, that I think the criticism is just. I personally thought there were hundreds and hundreds of better selections. But when Donald Trump selects you, he's going to stay with you. He is not going to allow what I think is very legitimate and fair criticism. So when people are saying it's a matter of days until Pete Hegseth is out, I think they're wrong, and I don't think Trump's moving off Hegseth at all. What do you think?
Well, and here's how circular this whole thing is. President Trump does not want to give in to, you know, the mainstream media,
yep,
the legacy media. That, by the way, would be you and me.
Yeah, right. Evil.
By letting the evil mainstream media, whatever that is, run his guy out of town. And then you've got Pete Hegseth blaming the same mainstream media for all of his issues.
Correct.
This wouldn't be a big deal if it wasn't for the mainstream media. He keeps making the case that no one should be concerned that he is sending what can only be deterred. I mean, he claims
they're classified. Of course they're classified.
I don't know how the exact times of military flights taking off to attack terrorists is not classified. I mean, if that's not classified,
everything,
then just put it on a dashboard
like
you have with FAA information. Here's when military flights are taken off. It's absurd on its face. And then he blames the media.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason I'm willing to opine on this, is how it comes back to us.
Correct.
It's the classic blame the media for everything. And the media is just pointing out what he has done. And it's up to the people to decide whether they think it's a big deal or not.
And plenty of people do. And, of course, at no point has he denied that he was sending this information, which included his wife and his brother. They absolutely, positively, unequivocally should not have been included. More with Tom in just moments here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Right back with our guy, Tom Hauser from Channel 5. He'll have great reporting tonight on the state of the state and other matters involving politics on Channel 5. How about this buffoonery? A group of eight Republicans in the Minnesota House have introduced legislation that would designate certain vaccines and medical treatments as weapons of mass destruction and make possessing or administering them a crime punishable for up to 20 years in prison. This is all related to COVID, because this is tied to mainly COVID treatments and some of the vaccines. We can go back and have spirited conversations. Hopefully, what a crazy idea. Driven by facts about what was right, what was wrong, what is a level of accountability when a pandemic is unfolding and you're trying to get as much right. And I know there's a lot of conspiracies. Let me say on those, I don't buy it for one second. I don't think Fauci and others were just doing this to make millions. Is he making a lot of money speaking? Yeah, he can. I thought most of the critics were capitalists. And certainly wasn't flawless, and others weren't flawless. But Tom, to be taken serious and now including COVID-type treatments, if you're involved in possessing or administering them, 20 years in prison, how do you take this serious in any way?
Well, just looking, if you just look at the headline in the Minnesota Reformer, it says Minnesota Republicans introduce vaccine criminalization bill drafted by Florida hypnotist.
I was leaving that for you. Exactly. So, there we go. Florida hypnotist is guiding them.
Now, and the headline is a little misleading to say Minnesota Republicans. That makes it sound like all Republicans in the legislature.
Yeah, no, I that's fair.
In the state are on board with this. It's eight.
Yep.
Clearly, COVID conspiracy theorists, anti-vaccine lawmakers who are involved in this. But to call vaccines, and just keep in mind from my background, my dad was a doctor. I grew up believing in medical science and believing in immunizations and vaccines and all of that. Just it's the way I was brought up. And my dad was a very smart man and was not going to have me immunized and vaccinated for things if he thought it was going to kill me. But when you look at this, to call them weapons of mass destruction, when there is ample evidence, a preponderance of evidence, I could maybe even go even further, that these vaccines probably saved millions of lives.
They did.
Around the world. And now we're calling them weapons of mass destruction. Were there some side effects that probably impact some people?
No doubt.
Absolutely. That's true of any medical treatment, just about.
And those are sad stories, awful stories.
Absolutely. And people with long COVID, were there problems? Mm-hmm. Yes. Was the good that was done, does that outweigh the bad? I think that the evidence seems pretty clear on that front.
Just to add again one last thing from the Florida hypnotist. This person has claimed that these type of COVID type of injections have caused more Americans to die from them than World War I, World War II, and the Vietnam War combined. Okay.
Yeah, enough said on that, I think.
Exactly.
Right? And by the way, just for anybody listening, this has less than zero chance of passing in the Minnesota legislature. It's just one of those things that gets thrown out there, and then you just shake your head, and then you move on and wait for the serious legislation to come through.
Well, and the reason why I brought that up, because then we have another national conspiracy from the senator right next door. I mean, this signal goes big time into Wisconsin. Ron Johnson, who has won multiple elections, where I thought we had moved past most 9/11 conspiracies. I guess we were more obsessed with COVID conspiracies and other things. But Ron Johnson is on some podcast where he's going with the Building 7 theory again that has been tossed out with zero proof, by the way, that they were actually brought down by controlled demolition and that there's still a lot being covered up by what the American government knows about 9/11. And he's being called out by Republican colleagues. Ron Johnson, again, you want to be taken serious. He's a proud conservative. As I said, he's won multiple elections in Wisconsin. He's on top committees. And he's tossing out conspiracies that have been proven over and over again that there's no basis of fact, and he's tossing this out. What is our obsession with conspiracies now?
You know, as you know, we're still trying to sort out who killed JFK, so I'm not surprised that we're trying to sort out 9/11. But it only takes somebody to step back for 10 seconds and think, okay, the U.S. government got involved in intentionally bringing down Building 7 so that they could put further blame on Al-Qaeda or whatever. Anybody who watched any of that coverage on the day 9/11 happened, who really thinks that somewhere in the Pentagon or somewhere, the CIA, they said, okay, now's the time to activate our secret plan to go plant those bombs to bring this building down? It was mass chaos in New York City.
Yep.
Under what circumstances would any of this have been possible unless you knew ahead of time that these terrorists were going to fly the planes into the buildings and you had the charges already set.
Yep.
Because if he's saying that, I don't even know how to respond to that. But of all of the things that we need to be concerned about in Washington, D.C., I don't know how this rises anywhere near the level of congressional hearings.
No, it does not. And I've seen the videos. I don't buy it. I've read endless amount of stories. It was a vicious, brutal attack by those outside of our country who want to kill us. That's it. Last thing, we had Chris Maddow on yesterday, a well-known defense attorney, and we had him on to react to Mary Moriarty in a decision I 100% disagreed with on the lack of criminal charges against the individual, the state employee, who damaged the Tesla vehicles. The idea that Mary Moriarty felt like the diversion program, pay back the 20-plus thousand with the possibility of criminal charges if he doesn't follow through. And I don't agree. I think there should have been criminal charges to go along with it. Maddow, to the not to the surprise of you in any way, knowing Chris Maddow, agreed with me and was verbal about that. He also has been rumored as someone, because he's been outspoken in his work with Alpha News, outspoken with Ryan Londegren, and that when Republicans are looking for someone who might be a good communicator, might have a different look, isn't a traditional politician, as someone who might draw some consideration. I asked him about it, and he said, I wouldn't run for the Senate. I'd only run for governor. I get it that people get sick of individuals saying I'm giving serious consideration, but I am, and I'm going to make a decision soon. He would have to dramatically increase his name recognition, for sure. And I think he'd have to make a decision in the next, what, 2-3 months, even though it's in 26. But where could he fit in? And are we going to get with these two, with the open Senate seat and with the governor's race, where we both strongly believe Walz is running, but much more vulnerable than the previous two times, are we going to get more credible Republicans running this time where individuals actually have a chance to win the race?
Well, you know, it's hard to say if that person or those people need to emerge soon, because you've got a lot of groundwork to do, a lot of fundraising to do. If you want to win a U.S. Senate race that's going to be competitive, I mean, I think at a minimum it's going to cost $10 million if you're going to put on a credible campaign that is going to be closely competitive with Democrats. And, you know, governor's races are generally a little less expensive, but those people need to emerge soon. I think several in the legislature who might be considering it will have to wait till their work is done in June. The governor said he's going to wait until the session is done, and it may not be done in May, so it may have to wait until June. But these people, including the governor, need to start deciding, yes, I'm all in, or I'm out. And because time, even though, what is it, still 18-plus months away, that's not a long time to wage a campaign if you are going to, as you mentioned, dramatically increase your name recognition. And most of the Republicans who might run are probably going to have to do that. They're all going to be kind of in that same boat because they're not household names.
Happy birthday, my friend. Congrats on the run, and I'll be checking out your coverage later tonight with the State of the State on Channel 5, and I always appreciate you coming on.
That sounds great. Thanks, Chad.
Tom Hauser, 31 past 2 on CCO.